Well, good morning, church. If you don't know who I am, my name is Jacob Rissman. My wife, Sammy, and I lead the campus ministry, and I have the joy of getting to preach this word this morning. I've mentioned this before, but at the beginning of last year, so January 2025, I started taking online courses at Abilene Christian University, working towards a certificate in practical ministry with an emphasis in preaching. And over the course of those past four semesters that I've been in the program, I feel like I've been able to learn and to grow a lot, both in different ways of looking at Scripture, styles of doing biblical theology and biblical study, and then translating that into different ways of preaching. And if you've heard me preach before, you might be able to tell that, you know, my preferred method is kind of the deep cultural dive, you know, studying out, man, what does this really mean? What would the original audience have gathered as they heard these words? Diving into the culture and the context. But the challenge with this approach is that at some point, if you keep having to preach a sermon on the same topic within a relatively short time frame, you start to run out of ideas on what to say. And for some reason, Vince really likes to give me the opportunity to preach every single time there's a sermon on sheep and the shepherd. And while I do get to enjoy putting my animal science degree to work, I do think I'm ready for a little break after today. Of course, I'm preaching on sheep and the shepherd again. But here we are. And again, hopefully, as I wrap up my own mini-series on sheep and the shepherd. You know, but I'm excited to get to share with you guys how, you know, our role as sheep of the good shepherd contribute to forming our identity as a church. You know, the title of my message this morning is Group Identity, Sheep of the Good Shepherd. Amen. You can go ahead and turn over to John chapter 10. I'll say a prayer and then we'll dive into the word. Dearly Father, thank you just for who you are. Thank you, you know, even just as some of the songs that we sang this morning, thank you that you are good. Lord, thank you that you are our rock, that you are our salvation, and that you are always there for us, that you protect us, that you are this good shepherd, Lord, that we need so desperately. And I pray that as we dive into the word this morning, that you'll speak through me, Lord, that each of us are able to just leave with something that challenges us or convicts us or inspires us, you know, that we're able to just go out into the world and really live this out of what this means for us to be your flock, to be your sheep, Lord. But thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being the good shepherd. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John 10, picking up in verse 1. It says, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. You know, many of us have probably either read this passage or heard this phrase at some point, that Jesus is the good shepherd. And as I've shared in the past, the shepherd's role is to look after, to protect the sheep. You know, the shepherd is meant to provide safety and security for his flock. He's the one who leads them through life. He's the one who establishes their steps and guides them to the next pasture. You know, we know that Jesus is the good shepherd. But oftentimes we hear this and we fail to recognize that this actually implies that there are other shepherds that we could choose to follow throughout our life. You know, so who or what is the shepherd that you follow? Where do you turn to for peace, for guidance, for protection? And the honest answer to this question matters more than you may think, both on a personal level, but also for us as a group, the flock. Because who our shepherd is, it impacts the type of person that we are raised to be. And my first point this morning is that the shepherd shapes our identity. The sheep belong and are ultimately raised by the shepherd. He's the one who acts as the primary guardian and caretaker of the flock. And who we're raised by, it matters. It has a huge impact on the person that we become. You know, think about the impacts that a parent has on their child. You know, human beings, you know, we're creatures that are, we imitate those that we look up to. And children, they don't just physically look like their parents. They adopt their mannerisms, their characteristics, their likes, their dislikes, their temperaments. You know, there have been so many times where people have come up to me and said, "You're just like your dad." You know, not just the way I look, the way I talk, the way I use my hands when I talk, the competitive spirit that I have. But there are also some really random things that I do that I have adopted from my parents. And some of those things, I didn't even know that's where I got them from. You know, for example, for some reason, I really do not like to brush my teeth in the bathroom. When I'm brushing my teeth, I'm walking around the house. I brush my teeth, but I don't like doing it in the bathroom. Half the time, I'm either like making my lunch with one hand while I'm trying to brush my teeth, or I'll go find Sammy and I'll bug her. Growing up, I'd go sit in the hallway and just pet the dog while I'm brushing my teeth. But I had no idea why I did this. Until about a year ago, I found out my mom does the same thing. She also does not like to brush her teeth in the bathroom. You know, and it's really funny, and I have a picture of this, because my dog started picking up on this habit. And she also likes to brush her teeth with my toothbrush, not in the bathroom. Those are two different colors because I keep having to replace my toothbrush. You know, but we pick up on the behaviors of those that we're raised by. You know, so it would make sense that as we walk through life with Jesus, our shepherd, and with God as our heavenly Father, that we would also start to pick up and adopt his mannerisms, his character, as we're slowly transformed into his image as we're called to be. You know, the natural response of spending a lot of time with someone is we start to conform to them. And Jesus is our shepherd, and he will never leave us. You know, additionally, not only does a parent shape our character, but they also shape the direction of our life as well. You know, as children, we don't have a say in where we're going or when we're going or when we'll be there any more than the flock has a say over the shepherd. You know, as children, we like to ask the question, are we there yet? When are we going? You know, my mom got really annoyed with me asking that. And so she would say, okay, we'll be there in 1,000 seconds. And I'd just go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and just count. I was still annoying doing that. But I had no control over when we would actually get to where we needed to go. And the same is true with us in Jesus. Right? He is the one that guides our path. He is the one that raises us up, just like our parents did for us when we were young. Yeah, but eventually, the time comes where we have to leave our parents' house, right? And at least become somewhat independent. You know, I definitely rely on my parents a lot, and even my wife's parents, to do a lot of things for us, or to teach us how to do a lot of things. As I was prepping this, Sammy's dad was doing work on our house. You know, but Jesus is the shepherd that stays with us through the entirety of our lives. He never abandons us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He continues to walk with us and to take care of us as he continually raises us up, as he continually leads us to where we need to go. And furthermore, you know, for us who have made the decision to live as disciples of Jesus, our identity is not only shaped by the Good Shepherd, but our identity is actually found in the Shepherd himself. You know, in John 10, Jesus says that he is the gate for the sheep. You know, that means that if anyone desires to be a part of the flock, they have to enter through him. He is the only way. He is the way that leads to rest and comfort. And the cool thing is, in biblical times, it was the shepherd who would lay at the gate of the pen. He would stand there and he would guard and he would allow everything to enter and everything to exit. But it had to go through him. That's who Jesus is. And he's come to give us life and life to the full. But life is only found when we enter through him into the flock, to that place of safety and rest. You know, this is the same type of language that we see scriptures talk about baptism, right? Eternal life is found when we partake, when we enter through Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. In Romans 6, 1 through 7, you know, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin because anyone who has died has been set free. You know, entering through Jesus, it means laying down our life with him so that our life can be found through him. This is what it means to be a part of the flock. It's only through Jesus that we can be saved. This is who we are as the church. We are the body of Christ, the family of God, the flock of the Good Shepherd. And this means that we're called to be people who answer the call of the shepherd, who goes on ahead of us. You know, that when he says go, we go. When he says stay put, we stay put. Through the good times in life, but also through the challenging times. You know, we're able to do this because we know that he is with us. Our security is not found in the things of this world, but it's found in the shepherd that we follow. And at least my second point this morning is that our security is found in the shepherd. You know, our life is found in Christ, and we know that we have this good shepherd who will protect us, who will guide us, and we can have confidence and security knowing that he is always with us. You see, the shepherd's character, it directly dictates the safety, the health, and the direction of the flock. You know, as the protector, as they guide, and as they provide. A good shepherd, they're compassionate. They're steadfast. They're sacrificial to ensure that the flock is protected, that they're fed, and that they're rescued when they start to wander. And when you're surrounded by the good shepherd, there's a feeling of security. The flock is able to thrive because there's a trust. They have confidence knowing that everything will be okay. But if we don't trust that our shepherd is good, that he is there for us, that he will protect us, then our life will be filled with fear. Our life will be filled with anxiety. But the better we know who Jesus is, the easier it will be for us to trust him. When we recognize just how great the love of Christ is, when we're able to look back and see all the things that he has done for us throughout the course of our life, and when we can acknowledge the weight of what Jesus did for us on the cross, when he died, bearing our sin, man, we can have confidence that we can be secure because we know that the shepherd is with us. How well do you know the good shepherd? Do you recognize the role that he plays in your life? You know, sheep, as I've talked about, they're vulnerable animals. They don't really have a lot of ways of protecting themselves from harm and from predators. They're prey. And they get scattered when there's no one there. And we're the same. We're just like the sheep. You know, without Jesus, our shepherd, we are prone to wander. You know, we get lost. We're alone. We're vulnerable to the dangers of life. And the world is filled with things that are trying to pull us away from God. You know, to live the life that will ultimately lead to death. And you see, the world not only promotes these things, but it glorifies these things. It glorifies living a life of sin. It glorifies living a life of self-reliance. But we know that the wages of sin is death. And no matter how good of a person we think we are, we will never be able to earn salvation on our own. It's only through Jesus. Without the shepherd by our side, we will be overcome by the enemy. But we have the shepherd. You know, in 1 Peter 5, 8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Our enemy is a lion. And I don't know about you, but I definitely would not want to go head-to-head with a lion, even if I knew the fight was coming. And you see, the moment that we lose sight of our shepherd, when we fail to be alert, when we find ourselves outside the comfort of the flock, that's the moment that the enemy will strike. That's the moment when Satan will step in and do his best to tempt us and to convince us of all the lies that he wants us to believe. Because a lone sheep is a vulnerable sheep. But with Christ, we are never alone. So we don't have to worry. You know, imagine that you're on an African safari. You know, and the tour guide, he stops the truck and he says, "Look, there's a pride of lions nearby." You know, some of us might be scared. I think that'd be pretty cool, personally. I'm an animal science guy. But you can bet there's no chance I would get out of that truck. I think it's cool because I know I'm safe. That if something happened, the truck could drive away faster than the lions could chase us. I know that I'm under the protection of the tour guide who would have a gun ready to protect us. And in fact, the odds of being killed by wildlife on a reputable African safari, reputable, is only about 1 in 2 million. And when these fatal accidents occur, it's usually because it's a foot tour, not in the car, or people disregard safety guidelines. They don't listen to their guide. But you see, regardless of all the potential danger that is found around you on this African safari, you're safe. Because you're in the good hands of the one who is guiding you. The one who can protect you as long as you remain close to him. This is what Jesus offers us. This is who he is. He is the good shepherd that will protect us and look after his flock. And we know this and can be confident in this because he has already gone as far as laying down his life for us. He has already taken the weight of your sin so that you may have life. But he wants us to lean on him. He wants us to rely on him, even through the hard times. Matthew 11, 28 and 29 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, this doesn't mean that life will always be easy. You know, that life will be free of troubles. But there is a promise that if we're willing to remain close to Christ, that he will stick with us, that he will give us rest. And the challenge is that the world is trying to convince us that there is someone else or something else that we should make our shepherd. You know, maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your friends, your wealth, your career, your academics. Maybe it's yourself. Because these are the things that the world says will give us peace and safety when we rely on these. You know, what is the thing that you turn to for security? Because whatever that thing is, it reveals what your shepherd is. And I know for myself, I can be quick to turn inwards, looking for security and peace from a place of my own accomplishments and my own abilities. My natural instinct is to want to be in control. It's to want to rely on my own strength, to rely on my own knowledge or my own work ethic to get myself to a place of comfort. And while I conceptually know that Jesus has a plan for me, that he wants to lead me beside still waters and green pastures, I can often find myself trying to look for these things from a place of my own understanding. You know, I found that it's easy to follow Jesus as the shepherd when he's guiding me in the place I want to go. But in the moments where Jesus is taking me through the valley, through the place where I can't see the steps that lie before me, that's where I can wrestle. That's where I can resist. And as I was reflecting on this, you know, made me wonder if God sometimes looks at me the same way I look at my dog. You know, when my plan aligns with Kara's plan, she's happy. She'll follow me. She'll even lead the way. But if she sees a squirrel and I'm trying to go this way, there's the fight. There's the battle. She's resisting. Now, luckily, I'm stronger than her, so we get to where I want to go. But it would have been so much easier for both of us if she would have just trusted me. Trusted that, no, I know what's best for you. I have this plan for you. You know, but sometimes this is how I view myself with God, right? Where I can find myself pulling and fighting and wrestling as he's just kind of dragging me along. And honestly, this semester has felt like one of those times. The fall as a whole, it was awesome. I felt like there was so much growth numerically, also in the character of our ministry. There was so much momentum, and then we got to this semester, and things just kind of hit a wall. You know, earlier this semester, there was a number of people that decided to walk away. They said they didn't want to be a part of our campus ministry anymore. And we didn't really get a lot of closure on why. We had an idea, but we don't know. One of our guys was forced to go home because some visa stuff fell through with his scholarships. Wasn't his fault, out of his control. He'll be back, but it sucks. You know, on top of that, like I said, we had all this momentum. I was in all these Bible studies that, you know, carried over, and there's a lot of them that are just stuck for various reasons. And it's hard. It's discouraging. You know, and I don't know what God is trying to do. I don't know where he's trying to take our ministry, but I can find myself wrestling. You know, God, why do Sammy and I have to go through this? Why can't things just be easy like I would want? You know, but the thing that has kept me grounded is being able to look back at all the times where God has been faithful, even when I have felt like this. You know, there was a time where this is what it was like when I was at Mizzou. We were trying to grow our campus ministry and things just felt stuck or things just felt hard. But God always had a plan. You know, I'm able to look back and see the ways that God grew, you know, helped me to grow through those times, the way that our ministry grew in those times. And you see, the challenges that I'm facing now, they don't change the fact that Jesus died for me. He has already shown himself to be faithful. And I just need to trust God. That man, even if I don't understand, it's going to be okay. I have to be willing to find my security in him rather than in the success of myself or in the success of our ministry. And the only way to do this is to be continually listening for the voice and guidance of our shepherd. Which leads me to my third point as we wrap up this morning, is that our direction comes from the shepherd's voice. You know, John 10, 3 and 4, it says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow because they know his voice. This is what it means to be a part of Jesus' flock. We need to be people who know and follow the voice of our shepherd. And the reality is that the good shepherd, he knows each of us intimately. He knows our voices. He calls us by name. The question is, are we familiar with his voice? Because we live in a world that is filled with noise. It is filled with voices of people trying to pull us in every direction. You know, this means that we need to be able to distinguish the voice of our shepherd. And if we're unable to, we may be led astray. In ancient Israel, you know, there were times where multiple shepherds would actually bring their sheep together into a single pen for a period of time. But they would never get them mixed up because the shepherd knew his sheep and the sheep knew the shepherd. You know, and this is important for us to recognize because, you know, we won't always get to see the shepherd. We won't always get to physically see the way that he's taking us, the direction, the plans that he has, the pasture that lies before us. But what we do have is his voice. You know, like the flock, we need to rely on that. You know, Jesus says that the shepherd is gone ahead of the flock. And yet the sheep follow because they know his voice. They won't get lost. They won't get sidetracked. They won't follow the stranger because they don't know the stranger's voice. In fact, they run from it back to the shepherd. Do you know the voice of the good shepherd? Or do you find yourself getting lost in the crowd? Can you recognize his voice? Or does he just sound like a stranger to you, where you're just guessing which voice is his? Because you see, the voice of the world, Satan's voice, is one that promotes comfort. It promotes convenience and control. And if we're not careful, we might mistake that voice for the voice of God. Because that's the voice that we want to follow. That's the voice that's easy. It's convenient. It leads to the comfortable place because I don't feel challenged. But that's Satan's voice. And that's not anything new, right? Satan tried to do the same thing to Jesus in Matthew 4 in the wilderness. In fact, Satan even used Scripture to try and deceive Jesus. But Jesus was able to distinguish what was true from what was a distorted version of truth. He relied on God. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Sheep rely solely on the words of the shepherd. That's what guides them. That's what leads them to still waters, to green pastures. And similarly, as sheep of the good shepherd, we need to rely on the word of God to guide us throughout our entire lives. So what does this look like practically? It means spending as much time as you can in the Word. Right. Sitting and reading your Bible. Sitting and just spending time with God. Learning to know His voice. Because if we want to follow Jesus, we have to know Him. We have to be able to distinguish His voice from the crowd, from the noise of the world. You know, when was the last time that you were able to just spend an hour just sitting and reading the Bible? Just you and God. No distractions. When was the last time that you made it a week without missing a quiet time? When was the last time that you sat down and intentionally memorized the Scripture? Writing the Word of God on your heart, as we're called to. If we want to be a church that follows the Good Shepherd, we have to know His voice. If we don't know His voice, then not only do we not really know Him, but we will never truly know who we are supposed to be in Him. Knowing the voice, it allows us to be shaped into His image. It allows us to find security and rest, even as we're walking through the darkest valleys, because we know that our shepherd is with us. And ultimately, if we intimately know the shepherd, we'll follow him. If we recognize his voice. Church, let us be a group that faithfully finds our identity in Christ, who finds our rest and our security in him, and who intimately knows him and follows his voice all the days of our life. Amen.